Hello and welcome to Bible Truths. My name is Credence Johnson. The other day I was driving down the highway and I saw a sign outside of a church building. It simply had these words, "If you have faith, you have everything." I thought to myself, that's a strong statement to make in light of what I understand the scriptures to teach. So I felt it necessary to weigh that statement against the scriptures. You see, anyone who has heard of religion has heard of the word faith. And some believe that faith is the only thing that one needs for salvation. Some believe that works justify a man unto salvation. Let me suggest to you that faith is required for salvation. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 simply states, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The dictionary says that it's when you have confidence or trust in a person or thing, or belief that is not based on proof. You see, faith is something that we have that is not based in something that we can see, smell, touch, or taste, or feel. We can't use our five senses to determine what it is, but we have faith that it is or exists. Faith is a noun that refers to an action or the way someone takes action. If you look in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Well, the question is, how was their faith spoken of throughout the whole world? How was their faith known by others? Well, it's simply known by what they did. Their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world because that's what people were talking about. That things that they had seen and them do, that's how they knew what their faith was. When a person has faith in something, they believe it is based on certain evidences, but cannot use their five senses to determine whether or not the thing they believe in exists. If I tell you that there is a chair where I'm sitting, you would have to believe it in faith. You can't see it. You can't touch it, taste it, feel it. You don't have any idea that it's there other than I've simply told you that it's there. So you have to believe that I'm sitting in a chair based on faith. In Romans chapter 8, verse 24, "For we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." We wait and have faith in Jesus Christ, not because we have seen him, touched him, heard him, or used our five senses in any way, shape, or form to determine that he exists, but that we've determined that Jesus is the Christ based on our faith. And where does our faith come from? According to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You see, faith comes by God's word. It doesn't come by your emotions, or I feel, or I think. It doesn't come by the things that we feel, or what we think should be true. It comes by what we read. It cannot come by any other source other than the Word of God. Our faith in Jesus Christ comes on what we've read about Jesus Christ in the book that contains his life, the book that contains his beginning, and all those things. How is the gospel spread? Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You see, the gospel is spread from one person's faith to another person's faith. It began with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ picked out 12 apostles whom he taught what he wanted them to learn and what he wanted them to know. He gave them spiritual gifts so they could prove themselves to other people. He gave them gifts of healings, the laying on of hands. He gave them the ability to speak in other languages so that people could clearly see that they were the ones who were preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And therefore, they would have faith that what they were saying is true. So from their faith, they would begin to teach it to other people. And down through the generations, we have faith given to other faith, and that is what Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What we do is based on what we have faith in. For example, we pray to a God that we cannot see with our eyes, touch with our hands. We pray to a God who we cannot use our five senses to determine whether he exists. We believe God exists based on what we read, and therefore we do what God asks based on faith. What we do based on faith what God wants us to do. In Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10, it reads, "And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by its roots and be planted into the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself up and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward he will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do." In other words, we increase our faith by doing what God asks us to do in faith. By faith, we read God's word. We see what God has asked us to do, and then we do it. Our faith is manifest in what we have read and understand God's will for us. We pray because God has asked us to pray. We worship on the first day of the week because God's word asks us to assemble on the first day of the week. As we read chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, the writer wants us to understand faith better. So here's a chapter where the writer of Hebrews explains faith. In verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made with the things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying by his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him." If we look down in verse 8, we're going to see about an individual, Abraham, who did according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into the place which he would receive an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we continue to read in verse 17 about Abraham's continued faith. "For by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluded that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he had received him in the figurative sense. By faith, Abraham was about ready to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith, he left a land that he lived in and moved to a new land because God had asked him to. When we continue down in verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled 7 days.
By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace.
Rahab also did not perish. The walls of Jericho fell. By faith they had done these things because they believed in what they were told. We've discussed clearly that faith is required for salvation. It's also very clear that works are required for salvation. What are works, you may ask? Works are everything that we do that affect our relationship between God and other people. God doesn't care about our relationships that do not concern our relationship to Him or our relationship to other people. Consider brushing your teeth. It doesn't really affect your relationship to other people, and it doesn't affect your relationship to God. So simple things like that are not what we're talking about. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Simply put, if you love Jesus, do what he has asked you to do. There are all kinds of works. There are good works. According to Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. You see, she did good works. She had charitable deeds. Those are good works. There are also evil works. In John chapter 7 and verse 7, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil." Jesus recognized that a lot of the things that are done on this earth are evil. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." The works that are talked about here affect our relationship to God, and all of the works are things that affect our relationship to other people. There are first works. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." You see, the church needed to understand that they have fallen away from their first love. They've quit doing the things that God had asked them to do in the beginning, and they have gone on to other works. And they needed to repent and continue to do their first works, the things that they did when they first believed, when they first repented and had taken that transformation from that old man and made that transformation and put on the new man, which is renewed, which we do in walking in newness of life. We need to put off the old deeds and continue in the first works. There are dead works. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." You see, that was an elementary principle of repentance from dead works. Dead works are the same as evil works. Dead works require repentance, returning away from, getting away from, and not doing any longer. We need to escape from dead works and continue into first works. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We need to recognize that dead works are something that we need to get away from, something that we need to put off. As a matter of fact, we need to repent from them. Works befitting repentance, as a matter of fact, according to Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. But when he saw, and this is speaking of John, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say for yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." They were told that they needed to do works befitting repentance. They were told that they needed to change what they were doing and show that they were going to do good works. In the end of this statement, in verse 10, he says, "Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit," anything, any person who does not have good fruit, does not do good things, does not have good works, is cut down and thrown into the fire. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, "But declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance." Again, it's very clear that they needed to do works that were befitting repentance. They needed to show that they were repenting, not just continue and say, "Yes, we've repented," but they needed to show works. As a matter of fact, we will be judged according to our works. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." According to his works, one will be rewarded. In Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, "But in accordance with the hardness of your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation for the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God." You see, it's very clear that we cannot enter heaven without doing good. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 34, Jesus makes the statement, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.' Then he will also to say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' And they will also answer to him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer to them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, and righteous into eternal life. You see, once again, God is concerned with our relationship to other people, how we treat other people, what we do for other people, and our relationship to Him. And our relationship to Him is how we treat other people. I also want to be very clear that we cannot earn our salvation by doing better works than other people. We cannot earn our salvation by doing more works than other people. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now we were prepared to do good works, and we should walk in them, but we are not saved by doing them, or else we should be able to boast, yes, I did more works than you, and I will obtain a better position. That's not the case at all. You have been saved by grace. It has been a gift that has been given to you by God. I need to be very clear that we cannot be saved by the works of the law of the Old Testament either. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 20 through verse 23, Therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now, we've been very clear. Faith is required to please God. We've been very clear that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, Without faith it is impossible to please God. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, we also see that Jesus says, If you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, that if we love Jesus, we have to do what He has asked us to do. So how do we balance this? How do we put the two together? We are justified by faith, but we are justified by the things that we do. But we are not justified by faith only, and we are not justified by just doing works. Let's look at the book of James to help balance this out. In James chapter 1, verse 22 beginning, But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And jump on down to verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Those are the things that we do. In James chapter 2 and verse 14, What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Listen to what James says. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, when Rahab, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You see, therefore, in verse 17, James chapter 4 and verse 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You see, we've just talked about Abraham and we've just talked about Rahab. We just read about Abraham and we read about Rahab in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, where it says that they did those things by faith and they were justified in what they did by faith. But here James says that they were justified in what they did. But we cleared things up by understanding that they showed their faith by their works. Yes, they had faith and that's what justified them, but the works that they did by their faith is what justified them. So the statement, if you have faith, you have everything? No. Your faith has to be manifest by your works. And your works can no longer be good without faith to guide them. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Believe in faith, because all you know about Jesus is what you read. You can't know anything about Jesus outside of what the scriptures have taught. Be baptized because our faith is manifest in what we do. Jesus told us that if we want to be saved, we will be baptized. Only when the two are combined can we be saved.
Thank you.